Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and I am just your typical Spike. Here with me in real life yet again, my producer, Cameron. What's up, dude?
Not a lot, man. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm great. We're recording in your home, Casa de Cameron.
It is, yeah. Got the sound insulation pillows to make it nice and audio tight.
We have your manservant who's refilling our beverages.
Yep.
You know, if you're wondering where the Patreon money's going,
yeah,
it's to Cameron's manservant.
Manservant.
I don't know what term you use for him, but he gets us drinks during the podcast, which is nice. I'm just, you know, I record with ice water
yeah.
in case anybody's like, drinks, what? No.
Yeah.
We are the most sober of the Magic podcast.
Absolutely, I think.
I had a cup of coffee before. Yeah, so we're just that boring. So,
yeah.
Cameron, you and I embarked on a little bit of an adventure today. We played SCG States,
mm-hmm.
which kind of going to be the central thing we're talking about this episode. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Pro Tour, what little we know about it.
Yeah.
But we're on the Saturday night of SCG States. We just played Standard, and we're going to play Modern tomorrow.
Yes.
So let's break it down, dude. So what did you bring to... And this was a combined. It was a PPTQ, PPOTQ.
Yes.
And a...
SCG States, Iowa.
Yeah. So, and it was at your card shop, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I want to start off with that because for the past year and a half, I have talked up my shop and, you know, how much I like it. I think it's just a great place to go. Last night, I was telling my wife, like, man, I've talked this place up for the past year and a half. I am so worried Curtis or Dustin are going to, like, just show up one of these days, show up to my shop and just have like a miserable experience. Are you just going to like, this is the worst place. Like Cameron has no taste. And like, I seriously was worried about this, right? All the way up until you showed up. And I want to know what your impressions were of the shop itself.
So amazing for starters. It is... And we go a lot into the depths of how big of a comic book guy I am on
yeah.
our other... show plug here. You can
yeah.
listen to it by being a Patreon subscriber. But you know, it's a comic shop, it's a board game shop, and a card shop, and has mm-hmm. a lot of square footage. I should say this: in Kansas City, there's only about two shops that I can think of, and I don't want to name names, but they couldn't compete with it. Most of the shops are very small. Look, square footage is more expensive in Kansas City than it is in Des Moines, and
mm-hmm.
I understand that. But there's only a couple shops that can compete with it in terms of having that kind of stuff. Being a place where you can regularly play competitively with a store owner that knows what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
I was really impressed. I mean, I'm super jealous,
yeah,
and I kind
yeah.
of hate your guts. You know,
you don't know how big of a relief it is to hear you say that because I seriously thought like, well, maybe this isn't that good.
You've
I don't
been
know,
to the shops by my home,
yeah, I have,
and they're awful, dude.
They are,
they're
yeah.
bad. I think we talked about this before. There was an uneaten piece of pizza with no plate just sitting
yeah.
on a table, an entire afternoon. It's just not a well kept up place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about, you know, five shops within driving distance of my current home, and I don't like playing at any of them. They all have pretty high downsides, pretty
okay.
low downsides, I should say. So
yeah.
the shop was great, and I'm surprised I didn't blow more money on comics.
Yeah.
My other real big problem,
mm-hmm.
but no, it's a great place.
Yeah, but for the day, honestly, it was a successful day, I would say. There was 100 people who attended this event, which is like right on par with what other PPTQs and states are like there. Let's see, so for the day, I played Jeskai Aggro. And this time I suited up two of the Ojutai's... Dragon Lord Ajutai, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And then also had Ajutai Command in the main, which is a huge mistake and just kind of a total flop card. Most of the time I was just gaining four life and drawing a card instead of using the other two abilities. So that was like probably the downside of that deck. The deck did feel a little untuned compared to what a lot of people were playing today. I played against kind of like a Bant... I don't know what you would call it. It was just green, white, splashing blue type of aggro deck. It had the Fleece Mane Lion, Deathmist Raptor, and something else that was kind of generating anytime Death Mist would be in the battle, you know, in the graveyard, it'd just come right back. And
right.
It was such a hard thing to deal with. Lost against that. I had a bye for my second round. Third round, I played against a Bant Heroic deck, which is a really good deck now with Dromoka's Command in it. Just things where, like, what would normally win me games with, like, a Mantis Rider, they would just fight it, and they'd get +1/+1 counter, and it didn't really feel like I was ever ahead in any of the games that I was playing. And then I played against, like, another, like, green aggro deck and won against that. It was okay. And that was kind of the day. I mean, I think we dropped quickly after that. I went technically 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had a good time. The matches for me felt really balanced. It wasn't like I was ever really far ahead or really far behind. A lot of the games were really close. A lot of the games were extremely interesting. But, yeah, I just never got there, right? So overall, I would call it a really successful day for me. And I had a great time for Standard.
So I had yet to play this Standard in any kind of competitive capacity. I had the decks. I had, kind of solitaired the decks, that kind of thing. And I felt pretty strongly, and I think we might have mentioned this last episode, I felt pretty strongly that the green-red Monsters deck was the best deck, right? And we'll talk about the Pro Tour because those decks have kind of morphed a little bit. But just like messing around and looking at opening hands, I was like trying to get that deck together as low cost way as possible. Because look, I'm not going to spend $300 on Thunderbreak Regents, Stormbreath Dragons,
yeah,
just to put it together because I got rid of my Stormbreath Dragons kind of at peak. But I felt like that was definitely the best deck going in. And I thought, well, it's either blue-black control or Jeskai Tokens. And Tokens, I feel like, requires the least knowledge of what I'm playing against because I haven't had a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So show up, and right off the bat, I'm paired against the Shaheen Serrani Esper deck. Went fairly easily. I mean, it was just kind of like really quick, bam, bam. I mean, as long as I was playing around Wraths, I was fine,
mm-hmm.
right? And then round two, I played against, I think it was the same opponent you had, that was Mastery of the Unseen, kind of a manifest deck. And of mm-hmm. course, me referring to Death Mist Raptor as, quote, hot garbage had to come back and get
of
me.
Of course, right?
I mean, I would argue that I lost to Mastery of the Unseen, not necessarily Death Mist Raptor, because mm-hmm. it was just a guy and I, whatever. But I was dead either way. But that matchup felt so low percentage for me. Because I don't main deck Manus Riders. I didn't have any Dragon Lord Ajutais in the side. Even if I did, I don't know that that would have mattered. Mm-hmm. They just gummed up the ground.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was just kind of like, one of the games I Wrathed and still lost very handily because of the Mastery of the Unseen. That's the card I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's the one that brings stuff back from the graveyard, right?
No. Manifest the top card of your library.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So if I'm missing on this card title, I apologize. Yeah. But it's the one that you can pay for mana to manifest
top
the top
card
of your library. So that matchup felt next to impossible. Then I beat a Abzan aggro. Not much to report there, but I feel like it's a very good matchup for Jeskai Tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Then I lost to the Dragons deck, the green-red Dragons deck.
Okay.
And had kind of a sketch keep, and I feel like this cost me a lot. I don't know that the matchup is good. The game two was longer, but I still lost pretty heavily. But I kept a Plains Island, two Seeker of the Way, Valorous Stance, and then two Lightning Strikes, and proceeded to rip nothing but red cards.
Yeah.
And so that happens, right? It was kind of a high percentage. Like, I felt like if I get there, then I'm going to be in good shape. If not, not so much. And
yeah.
Not so much. And then I won the mirror. I won the Jeskai Tokens mirror. And then at that point, I was 3-2, and we felt like getting Mexican food. I will say this. So I feel like I'm still really digging this Standard. I don't know if it's going to end up being as strong, because it feels like the new cards have made a huge impact, and that this Standard has changed a lot from one set to the next. It feels a lot more aggressive. It feels like you lose a lot more quickly, and sometimes I felt like all my matchups were very one-sided. Either mm-hmm. I was winning. The only time that wasn't the case was the Jeskai Tokens mirror, I think for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But everything else kind of felt a little more lopsided. I will say this. So first of all, the shop and the experience was great. They ran it well. SCG State seems like a good program so far. No beef there. And I wish, you know, I tend to draw in the scumbags and the kind of silly stories from my opponents at these kind of events. But everybody in Iowa is so nice. Mm-hmm. It's obnoxious.
It's a wretched hive of scum and villainy, right?
Yeah. And so, like, I don't have anybody telling me thank you for your honor before they crush me or something like that, you know? Which is a little bit disappointing. Yeah, my opponents were super cool dudes.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, tomorrow we're playing in the modern event.
Yeah.
And so you have been seduced by Team Geist. That's the thing that's happening, right?
So I've been watching, shout out to Great Nate. He puts out really good videos, right? I mean, they're super, super good. Even if you're not a Geist fan, I think you can learn a lot from watching his videos. He does a great job of it kind of explaining and really going through his thought process.
He knows that deck real well.
He really does, right? And he's been having really good success. I think he has like top eighted an eight man or whatever.
So wait,
Magic Online.
There are eight men playing Magic Online at a given
apparently
moment.
Apparently, there are across the world eight people playing.
Well, that's comforting.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I mean, he's like, you know, guided this deck to a 4-0 win a couple of times, which is awesome. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try this out. I feel like Geist hasn't been, especially with the Treasure Cruise Dig Through Time kind of being removed, I really haven't been as interested in that build anymore, right?
I mean, you don't get those free wins.
It's
terrible.
I don't get those free wins anymore. But I'm going to be playing that. And it's a very similar build to Team Geist, you know, Aganjo Castle. I'm running three Geist instead of four because I want a little bit more counter magic. I think counter magic is still beneficial in that, and it's not maybe as aggro, which is probably going to bite me in the butt, to be honest. But it's still a little bit closer to my play style. So that's, I don't know, like that's where I'm at. Like I just, like you, I haven't found like the deck, right? I mean, the Geist deck is as close as it's come for me in modern. But like for just the modern deck, I just, nothing is saying that's it. Light isn't descending upon that one, you know, pile of cards to say this is what Cameron should be playing for the next year and a half.
Yeah, I the closest I am to that in modern is Storm,
mm-hmm.
and I played Storm at GP Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that pretty in depth at that point. So I've decided to not just play a deck with a basic mountain in it, but a lot of cards that I don't normally play. I'm playing Grixis Delver tomorrow, which is so outside.
Who are you?
So outside. I legitimately thought this while I was putting together the deck, because this deck has been doing very well on Magic Online, which is, you know, not necessarily the best indicator because, look, a lot of people had that blue-red Delver deck and then just kind of flipped over into something else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a Grixis deck, and I think you played a version of this, but mm-hmm. plays Tassigar, plays Gurmag Angler.
Yep, I've played this deck.
And it seems fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any expectations going into it. I've never cast a Tassigar ever. And so, look, there's going to be some mistakes.
I cannot wait.
There's going to be some shenaniganry.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that build. And honestly, this weekend is kind of a mini vacation for me to come up here and play cards with you.
Mm-hmm.
And playing Storm is not something that lends itself to vacation mentality.
You don't want to count a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, because of me buying the house and all, this is the first time I played actual physical cards in a long time. Yes, I played at a legacy, quote, event. But we're not counting that because...
Let's put legacy in big quotes there.
I was playing with the legacy deck, and they were playing with an event deck. To me, that's not the same as what we're talking about here. So, you know, hey, I actually came into today very relaxed, and I feel like I played okay. You know, mm-hmm. not great. There was a few giant missteps. But for being very rusty at the competitive level, I had not that many problems today. So that has me very concerned about playing a more complex format, more complex deck tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Though I think you can argue that Jeskai Tokens is probably as complex as a standard deck.
There's a lot of keeping track of like what has what for plus one, plus ones, right? I mean, there's a lot of that. So,
So I... bottom line it, playing yes. Grixis Delver tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
You have me intrigued. You really do. There's so often lately where I'm sitting and playing Modern and I just see this pile of 10 cards sitting in my graveyard. And it's like, well, I'm only going to use the Lightning Bolt with Snapcaster. I should really delve with
something,
right?
To delve.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now that Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time are gone, I really want something. I'm really intrigued by what you're doing with Gurmag, whatever. Yeah.
It's a zombie fish, Cameron.
Yeah, yeah. Just the big fish, whatever.
I mean, I want to kill somebody with a Gurmag Angler. Yeah, I want to do that in my life. Well, yeah. I mean, not in limited because, hey, it's a fine limited card. It's not great, but it's whatever. But I'm interested in using that element of it. But the deck can totally function, you know, with the rest in peace and play and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll check it out. I want to fall in love with the deck. I want this to be the one. But I feel like I'm Jerry Seinfeld and that it's just an endless cavalcade of girlfriends that always have one problem that I can't get past. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I probably not of our a lot of our listeners got that reference. Yeah.
She has man hands.
We'll she has man hands. Let's get out of this segment, come back, and talk about the Pro Tour. Hey guys, Curtis here. Just wanted to introduce real quickly a clip from our Patreon subscriber-only show. There are a number of benefits if you become a Patreon subscriber. Not only will you get some sweet Hawk tokens and entered into our monthly contest, you also get to download one extra show a month, a show we call The Fifth Feed, and here's a clip from that. I would not say, well, we count the Battlestar Galactica episode 33 as a pilot. I mean, it kind of is.
It kind of is, but I mean, like, it already, it's like just the best first episode of like the season, right? I mean,
it's the best first episode that I think has ever existed. Like, you show that to people. I mean, that's how I reeled you in, right? I was watch this episode.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it's just like, good luck. I was the equivalent of a crack dealer at that point.
It's so true.
As soon as you see the Vipers, sorry, we're going down Battlestar. As soon as you see the Vipers magnetic land, and then they jump faster than light. Mm-hmm. Like everybody that's ever loved anything about space combat is like, okay, I'm watching every single thing these guys make.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the rest of the plots are bad and the last season's plots were bad. The space combat is just, I mean, it's better than anything I've ever seen in anything.
Mm-hmm. It's like, why have I not had a video game create that experience for me, right? But.
So yeah, Daredevil, I mean, it's on Netflix streaming. Check it out if you haven't yet. And I mean, watch. Now that we've talked it up so much, like the last eight episodes will be just god
total awful. Garbage, yeah.
Okay, dude, so we're bad Magic the Gathering podcast hosts. So I have watched literally zero of this Pro Tour. And I'm so excited for it. I'm going to watch the archives. I'm going to devote a lot of time to it. But I was on the road here through a lot of it / working. And so I haven't been able to see it. Also, it doesn't help that it's on in the middle of the night, but that's another, we can go there later when we talk about another coverage review, which some people have requested. So
we should get theme music for that the next time we do it because,
you think maybe a gospel choir?
Yeah, something, yeah.
Yeah, I really want to bring the epicness to our coverage review.
Yeah.
I'm also worried that like, sometime with us being, you know, doing the coverage review, that something's going to happen to me and it's going to look like an accident. Like I'm going to go to a GP and I'm going to go to a dark alley and there's going to be Marshall Sutcliffe
and crew.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, he's much taller than me.
He could take you. I'm not going to.
He definitely could. Yeah. Everybody could. I mean, the only thing I have is the ability to talk way too much. So that's not going to get me out of anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that and dreamy blue eyes. But we both have that. So it's kind of, not a lot of people know this. We, of all the Magic podcasts, have the dreamiest, deepest eyes.
It's true.
Not even close.
Yeah. I mean, you can't not look at Dustin's eyes and just sigh.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've met other podcast hosts, you know, Marcel, not dreamy eyes. Great verbal capabilities. Marshall's tall. The ladies from Magic the Amateuring, great. Definitely not dreamy eyes.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So take it. Right?
Done. Drop mic. Gone.
Gauntlet thrown down. Anyway, and let's not even talk about Aaron from the Deck Tease. Definitely dreamier eyes than her.
Yeah.
So anyway, so hey, The Pro Tour happened. All we've had is between rounds, furiously going through Twitter and decklist. And I mean, I'm
furiously searching Google to even try to find top eight deck lists, but that's another story there.
Our Magic the Gathering Daily MTG website review. It's crap. See, we, I just did the whole thing right there.
Done.
So much insight, but I'm feeling pretty good about my chances in the Fantasy Pro Tour.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
I just look. And again, I would love to take, just to say it wasn't obvious, but to me it was. I'm surprised at how many blue-black decks are in this top 8. And look, we don't have the list of top-performing decks. There's one mono-red, one Abzan Control. Was it 3 green-red, 4 green-red monsters?
Something like that, yeah.
And then, you know, one mono-red. And so the green-red monsters have taken on this kind of quasi-devotion deck kind of tone. A lot of them are playing several 3-4 Dragon Lord Atarkas. By the way, a 7-drop.
Yeah, right.
So this has gotten real, and this deck has become, you know, it was doing very well on the Star City Circuit, and sometimes decks do well on the Star City Circuit, then the Pro Tour happens and major adjustments happen. Mm-hmm. This deck has gotten tuned, I think is what we can say.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like, because I played against a quasi version of this today that was, you know, Rug, I felt like I was such a dog. Like, I mean, Thunderbreak Regent, when you're playing against, when you're playing with tokens, just felt awful.
Yeah.
Awful, man. Mm-hmm. So how often are you going to see this deck? I mean, there is an expense with this deck too. So you might not see it as often as the mono red.
Yeah.
But what do you think of it, man?
Yeah, it's something I know I'm going to be seeing for the next 3 months, probably, at least. Who knows what I guess, is it, what's next?
Magic Origins.
Origins, thank you. Whatever that holds, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, on the surface, thinking that you're casting, that you have the opportunity to cast 4 7-drops in a game is just, like mind-boggling. But if there's one deck that can actually do it, I mean,
there's a lot of mana in this deck.
Yeah, there's a lot of ramp in this deck, right? I mean, so if there's one deck that can do it, it's this. I'm definitely, I mean, this is like not a deck that I'd want to play. I'm not really like the hyper aggro thing. I'm not really into, but I'm really hopeful now that the Pro Tour has happened that we're going to see maybe in the next couple of weeks, here are some answers to this deck, right? I mean, because people are going to be building hate for this deck specifically. I think like me doing Jeskai aggro, which I don't think is anywhere near as lethal or as quick as this deck, for Valor Stance, that's going to be a thing, right? I mean,
yeah. And then you're trading 1-for-1, and they're mm-hmm. ramping. I mean, you can almost feel, and again, we didn't watch coverage, mm-hmm. but you can almost feel the triangle of this metagame being this monsters deck, a control deck that plays Rast that preys on this kind of mid-rangey aggro green-red, mm-hmm. and then the mono-red deck, which feels like it's probably really good against blue-black.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the mono-red deck actually beats this green-red monsters deck. It seems like such a ratchet matchup on paper. I mean, hey, look, I'd have to play it to know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're talking,
you might be able to squeeze in there, but, like, yeah, that's a,
it's a lot going on, and especially like mono red in the world of Sylvan Caryatids is not something that I'm very interested in doing anyway, mm-hmm. much less mono red ever, because I have a brain.
You are Curtis.
Right. But dude, this has me concerned. Was I living in Candyland where Standard was great and there were all these decks? Remember however many months ago we were mm-hmm. looking and there were so many different decks,
mm-hmm.
and this is the conclusion we've come to.
Yeah.
With,
but, I mean, let's go back to Pro Tour Cons of Tarkir, right? And Abzan was heavily weighted in that, right? And like in those decks finally were tuned and they kind of split into your aggro and your control or mid range or whatever. This doesn't seem that different. I mean, green red is definitely a little bit more lethal, I think, as far as like speed. And just raw power. But I don't know. I feel like things will find balance, I hope, maybe in another 2 weeks. This coming from the guy who, you know, started in Theros block and there, where we were, right?
There was balance. There were four decks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think it's going to get to that point, but it's kind of, and this isn't bad. Maybe I should watch what I'm trying to say here. I feel like it's like, oh, it went from the most exceptional standard to, oh, now it's just normal standard.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah.
And you know, we had this kind of weird time frame where no card was really peaking the way that these cards are because there were all these different decks.
Right, a Siege Rhino you can get for $7, which is crazy, right?
Yeah, and now some of these dragons are shooting up very, very quickly because I think there's an awareness that, look, hey, we might be back to the one, the two decks, and then some other tier two stuff, which has been the way Standard has generally operated for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, do I have any interest in playing these green-red mirrors? No way.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of being the only guy in the room playing this, and I like the idea of playing it, you know, today, but I mean, I feel like blue-black control is where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Because A, that's my comfort zone, and B, I feel like those lists don't seem as tuned. I mean, look, Adrian Sullivan's one of these top eight lists, and he is known for playing kind of quirky one-ofs and that kind of thing. I mean, he's a genius player. He's a brilliant player, an important person to the history of the game, and I love watching him play. But he's not known for tuning it down the way that like a Jerry Thompson is. And so I'm more interested in playing that, and I feel more comfortable in a control mirror than I do in an aggro mirror, which is kind of, I don't know, weird thing to say. Mm-hmm. I think that's not the case with most people.
Sure.
But I feel like there's a lot of room to tune to the way I want to play the blue-black controller Esper control deck. Whereas the green-red monster deck, we might not be there yet, but we're about to find the apex, the best way to build that deck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I'm at a loss, dude. Like, it's
well, you can just play Legacy and Modern. You can just dodge Standard for a while. I don't have that luxury.
That may be the case because, I mean, the Jeskai aggro deck, as much as I do like it, I mean, just playing this week and last week, it just does not have the power that it needs or the speed that it needs to even compete to a mono red aggro or the green red aggro. So yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss right now as far as where I want to go in the next few weeks. And I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful that there'll be some answers.
I just want to be playing a Wrath Effect, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so also, hey, good news. Narset's probably going to drop in price. So boom. So,
boom, yeah.
Get on that. Okay, Cameron. Well, I feel like this is really all we need to talk about today. I don't have a card for you. I'm sorry. So you becoming a spike is you taking down Modern States tomorrow, winning that playmat.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've given it to me, I will say, all right, Cameron, you are officially a spike, right?
Wow.
And we'll burn it on a like some kind of altar in the woods, like Old Testament style.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Video the whole thing. Don't you like where this is headed?
Yeah, it's very Beowulf.
Yeah, like... Yeah. And then, like, I'll take the goat's blood and smear it on your face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we say, thank you for your honor.
and then you get a orange belt. Right?
Love it.
So, Cameron, if someone would like to get a hold of you, where can they do so?
Well, sadly, two places on Twitter. you can try to get a hold of a fake version of Dustin at MTG Dustin. I will forward that on to Dustin. He'll rate your trade or do anything like that. We love getting that sort of feedback, mainly because it gives Dustin something to talk about on a magic podcast, which he never really ever has anything to talk about, right? So you can do that. Otherwise, me at Cameron_McCoy.
I am at Curtis Now. Our official show feed is at SpikeFeedMTG. If you would like to send us something longer, there is an email link on our website. Dustin mentioned something about the Judge Foil program last time, and we got multiple comments.
Yeah.
One email was quite thorough, and I learned more about it than I ever expected to, which is what we get when Dustin opens his mouth on the show. So, dude, we read all the emails. We very much appreciate those as well, and we will check you guys next week.